Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'd like to welcome you back this morning, today. Today is November the 27th, 2017. We pray all is well with you this evening. There's a lot been going on the holiday season. I pray that everything is well with you and your family through this Thanksgiving, time to share, time to be with them, be with family and friends and reconnect. And as we prepare to celebrate Christmas and the birth of Christ and the birth of our Savior, we just pray that everything goes well with you and that we also continue to keep those in prayer the less fortunate, through the homeless, to those living in shelters, those who have lost family members in this year, that we would also take this time, this holiday season, to reach out and encourage them and support them. Because sometimes during the holiday season, a lot of things go on. A lot of people deal with a lot of things. It's not always all joyous and happy. But some folks struggle with loneliness, struggle with lost family members who passed away, and just general loneliness and depression. So I encourage you to reach out, spend some time with someone you normally don't spend time with. Just check on those in your circle of influence, that no one is sitting home alone during the holidays. We just assume everyone has somewhere to go, and everyone does not. Amen? Amen. Well, tonight we're going to be talking about a couple of things. The next couple of weeks, God's put on my heart, we're going to talk about the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk about a few things. Tonight we're going to touch on a few things, some highlight points. And then for the next coming weeks, we're going to go a little bit more in-depth. I invited some teachers to come on and share their insights and teachings on the Lordship of Christ. That it's more that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. And that Lordship part is sometimes where people struggle, where people don't really understand and have a misunderstanding of what it means to be a Christian and who's in control. Amen? Amen. We're going to open with prayer and scripture and prayer. We're going to get right into the conversation tonight. And I just want to encourage you. Also, if you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, you can call in live and share your insights, ask questions, and join us on the phone at calling 646-668-2636. That's 646-668-2636. Amen. Well, today I'm going to open with scripture. We're going to be reading from Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Amen. Amen. And the word of God says, oops, wait a minute, my book just flipped on me. Yeah, we're going to verse number 23 in Luke chapter 9. Amen. The word of God says, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Father, we say thank you today. We say thank you, God, for your Son, O God. Thank you for Jesus, O God. Thank you, God, that you made him Lord and Savior of our lives, O God. Father, we ask today, O God, that you will give bring back to our remembrance those things that we learned as children, that we, when we were young in the faith, when we were given milk to build that foundation of faith, O God, that you are our Lord and our Savior. And through that, God, through obedience, O God, we will stand before you and hear well done and good and faithful servant. Father, today I want to lift up husbands, fathers, and sons. Fathers, O God, that you continue to minister and to love and support and encourage their children. To husbands, Lord God, for that husband who may be struggling in his marriage, God, that he would stand, God, that he would seek your face and wisdom and guidance and direction, O God. We're praying for healing in marriages today, oh God. We rebuke divorce, oh God. We rebuke those things that come in, they come against a couple that tries to destroy them, God. Because marriage is made, oh God, as a representation of you and in connection with the church, God. So for your glory, God, I'm praying for marriage to be healed and reconciled. Continue to be pressed for the sons, God. For those, oh God, who come under the authority of fathers, oh God. For those without fathers, God. For those, oh God, who don't have anyone to speak wisdom and life into them, oh God. We're praying for those sons, God. And we're praying for the obedience of sons, oh God. That our ears and hearts be open to hear from correction and rebuke, oh God. But also, God, as sons, God, we will hear encouragement from our fathers, God. Those spiritual and natural, God. Continue to bless us. Continue to watch over those who are listening on this line tonight. Continue to watch over my family, oh God, as we move forward, oh God, to the purpose and plan that you've given us, oh God. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to speak life, oh God, and not death. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Amen, amen. Well, tonight we're going to share something real quick. But first, when we talk about salvation, we're going to go to the basics. We're going to go right back to Romans. Where it says in Romans chapter 10, verse number 9, if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And that belief in who Jesus is, that he is Lord. Now, so many places in the scripture, it talks about his lordship of Christ. It talks about his power that God has gave to him. And tonight, I just want to touch on a few highlights, because I always like to give folk homework to go search your Bible, search it out for yourselves, study to show yourself approved, for understanding, for growth. So we know that after the resurrection, the title Lord was applied to Jesus, and so much that the title of honor and respect, saying Jesus is Lord, has become a way of declaring Jesus is deity. It began with Thomas, when Thomas, everyone called Thomas the doubter, but even when he doubted, and Jesus stood there and he touched the scars and the nail prints of his hand, he said to him, my Lord and my God. That's in John chapter 20, verse number 8. And from then on, the apostles' message was that Jesus was Lord, meaning Jesus was God. Peter's sermon, we look back at Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2, around verse 36. He says, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Messiah. Cornelius, when Peter talked to Cornelius, to the Roman legion, he declared that Jesus is Lord of all. That was in Acts in chapter 10. So these are the places that we just want to be able to show that men, brothers, women, and children can go and see that lordship and understand what the Bible says about Lord and what it means to be Lord. It means we're obedient to him. It means that Jesus has all authority on heaven and earth. The Bible calls him the Lord of the Sabbath. He calls him our sovereign and Lord. The Lord of the Sabbath, that's in Luke 6 and 5. Because Jesus all authority in heaven and earth. That was the scripture was in Matthew 28:18. So these are the facts that Jesus was Lord. And we know in the book of Revelation, he's called the one that had the power to open the seals, to open the scrolls. So his lordship is something that we have to understand. Now for us in our relationship, we understand who Jesus is as Lord. It's for us to be able to be obedient to him, that we are obedient to him, we are faithful to him, that he is the most important part in our life. And through his word and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are to be obedient to what Jesus says. We don't have a choice. It's just not salvation, and then we do anything we want, live how we want. We allow anything in our lives. I mean, I think that's the biggest struggle we have, and sometimes the teachings are not book are not even taught. I won't say that. I say because I know pastors and men of God and teachers of God who are faithful to the word and teach this, but then some believe salvation is a simple thing. It's an easy salvation. Just accept him and then walk on and continue to live that life. So that's one of the things that really we have to examine ourselves. You know, that we have to examine. If we call him Lord, in scripture it talks about, you know, call me Lord, but you do not do what I say. And that's one of the things we have to, each of us, each man, each husband, father, son, mother, daughter, and wife. We have to all look at ourselves and say, is Jesus truly Lord in our life? Or we just superficial Christians. I'll use that word for right now. Because we talk about superficial and carnal Christians, but it's basically we have not surrendered ourselves unto him as our Lord. And that we are moving and living a life that's obedient to him. So that's important. Also, Jesus, even in the Old Testament, there's places in the Old Testament where Lord is used capital L for Yahweh in the Hebrew Bible, in the Bible of the Old Testament scriptures, and it talks about the Lord, and it was in referring to Christ and some of the prophecies. So even in Psalms, I think it's in Psalms 34 and 8, it talks about taste and see that the Lord is good. And in the passage that connects that in the New Testament, in the First Peter, when he said the Lord is good. So that same Lord that's used and that same title given to Christ in pre-incarnation and then after his incarnation into human form is there. So it's something that, again, we have to be able to study to show ourselves approved and understand what the Lordship of Christ means. And also being in that place where we want to submit unto him. That's why I believe, you know, when we share the gospel with folks and tell people, we have to also talk about the Lordship and what it means to be saved. What is God asking us to be, to accept that free gift? But then there should be a change. There should be a difference. If it's just something that we come to understand about what it means to be Lordship. You know, even if we look at Scripture, when he was on earth preaching his earthly ministry, he taught a lot of things about, he taught people that they had to count themselves. They had to carry their cross. In the scripture we read in the beginning in Luke, it's about, you know, every day lifting, carrying your cross, bearing our cross, the things that we have to start to purge out of our lives and living different, sacrificing ourselves for his Lordship, for him to be Lord. And we're not going to live the way we used to live. We're not going to be, we're not selfish. It's not about us, but it's about pleasing God. And that's one of the things we have to look at, you know, and even in the scripture, a lot of times in the crowds, great crowds he had, he said things and taught things that made it hard for them to just keep on following behind him. You know, there's different places in scripture where Jesus told folk and then they departed from him because the sayings are too hard, the scripture says. So for us to be, for Jesus to be Lord, there's a couple of things I just wanted to touch on tonight and share with you. Again, this is Christian Mess Talking. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're going to be coming, we're going to be doing a series on this the next couple of weeks, all the way into the new year, talking about the Lordship. Because as we know, you know, churches and folk, we're doing outreaches and we're doing a lot of things for this holiday season, a celebration for his birth. Others are just celebrating Christmas because it's Christmas, it's about gifts and stuff, and that becomes a lot of, propaganda, advertisement, merchandising and buying a lot of gifts and buying things, but we forget the real purpose of what it means to have Christ in Christmas. But I just pray that something I said here tonight that would encourage you to, for all of us, for all the believers that are listening, that we continue to lift up Christ and evangelize in these opportunities, in the malls, even though we're hustling and bustling, but in the malls, I encourage you to have tracks, have invitations, invite people to your church. Do something that's going to edify the body and glorify God in all that we're doing in this season with opportunities. Because, again, salvation. We don't want people to celebrate Christmas for years and years and still die and end up in hell separated from God because they have not come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. Amen? So, Jesus is Lord. It's what it means. It means that we are committing ourselves to obey him. Jesus asked, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? That's in Luke chapter 6. Now, Luke chapter 6 is a very thick chapter when we're talking about the Lordship of Christ. So I encourage you to go there, study, get you a good commentary, get you a good Bible dictionary, and then search out the word, search out the phrase, search out what Jesus was teaching there. Because acknowledging of Jesus as Lord is a larger accomplishment by the submission to his authority. If Jesus is Lord, then he owns us. He has the right to tell us what to do. It's as simple as that. You know, we let men lord over us. We live in societies where people lord over us. We have to be obedient to what they say, when they say, and how they say it. All the way from the military to the government to your job to in the families. But with Jesus needs that same reverence. Same reverence you would give your boss in his secular job. You give Jesus that reverence when we read his word, when the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, to sacrifice, to give, to live a life right, to purge yourself of sin, to repent from sin, to confess sin, to build, to be in the body of Christ, to participate in the body of Christ. You know, one of the things where it says God gives the church directions and prescription of who the church is supposed to be doing in the culture, no matter what generation, what century, there's specific directions that the church was to do and things the church was to do And one of those was fulfilling the Great Commission to go out and spread the gospel, tell them about Jesus. A person who says Jesus is Lord is with the full understanding that it means that Jesus is God and has supreme authority over all things and has been divinely enlightened. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And that's one of the other things. When we accept Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells in us and gives us understanding that Jesus is. And through that, because we cannot do it through our flesh, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, which guides and directs our thoughts, our directions, every step, every thought, everything that we see through the eyes of the Holy Spirit, through God's Word. It's through the Holy Spirit. So we have surrendered ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Our faith in Jesus Christ is a cry for salvation. Look at Acts 16 and 31. Because if we don't have faith in Jesus as Lord, our salvation should be in question. Jesus is Lord. It's the truth. Whether or not people acknowledge the fact, he is more than the Messiah, more than the Savior. He is the Lord of all. Someday, all will submit to that truth. The Bible says God exalted him in the highest place and gave him a name that is above every name. That name, Jesus, every knee shall bow and on heaven and in earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. That's Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 and 11. And I encourage you to meditate on those. Go to that scripture, Philippians 2, 9 through 11, and meditate on that and study it and search it out, reason it out, chew on it. And that'll start you to the place where we would check ourselves. We look at ourselves in the mirror and see who we are, how we're living. Is our life lining up with the Word of God? Do we accept Jesus as Lord? Or do we have doubts? Because doubts sometimes is a good thing, because doubts makes us search it out. Doubts makes us go and check ourselves. Scripture tells us that we should make sure that we are in the faith in everything that we do and say and how we live and all opportunities we are given. Are we being obedient to Christ? If he is Lord and we have a full understanding of what that means, then we will do what he called us to do in all aspects of our life. When it comes to being all the way from being in the church, being a member of a church, being a participating member of a church, being a faithful member, being faithful to the things of God, being faithful to our leaders that are put over us, our pastors, and our elders and deacons. You know, it's one of the things I learned a long time ago. A man told me, you know, if you have an ought with your pastor or your leadership, then that could be God telling you that's not your place. I mean, you know, there's things, you know, that I'm not going to say, you know, if you're part of a cult or some kind of heresy or something like that. But again, you only know that through the power of the Holy Spirit, through study of Scripture for yourself, through a full understanding of Scripture, and through, you know, in fellowship, knowing what's being taught, where it's being taught, know what you believe and why you believe it, and searching the Scriptures for yourself. Because a lot of folk are in a lot of things, a lot of churches or cults or whatever you want to call them, because they choose not to search the Scriptures for themselves. They choose not to listen to the Holy Spirit within them. Or they, if they're in a cult, they may not even have the Holy Spirit. They just follow the man for the prestige, for whatever it is, for the gifts. And remember, Christ had Jesus on this earth in his 3-year ministry. He had thousands of people following him until they chose to take him to trial and crucify him. Then no one was there. And at the cross, there was very few there. So we have to remember that, too. So just because you're in a church and it's big and that doesn't mean everybody in the room is saved. It doesn't mean everybody in your church is going to heaven. But are you going? And where is your faith based on? Amen. The Lordship salvation teaches that a true profession of faith will be backed up by evidence of faith. And that's what we have to do. Do we have evidence of our faith? Are we living life different? Do people see, first of all, do we see ourselves differently? Do we see the change? Do we see that what God has done in our lives? Do we recognize and are grateful for what God has done and changed us and moved us to a person that we are from the day we got saved to now, to this moment? Some have been saved 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. Some have been saved 30 days or for a week. But is there a true profession of faith? Is there evidence of our faith? Is it changed life? It's not going to be easy. There's going to be struggles. There's going to be temptations. But are we coming from a different place? A person is living in willful, unrepentant sin has obviously not chosen to follow Christ, because Christ calls us out of sin into righteousness. The Bible clearly teaches that faith in Christ will result in a changed life. I'm going to give a couple of scriptures here, 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 for your study, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, and James chapter 2, 14 and 26. I would suggest that you go there, research those scriptures out. And again, we're going to be covering this in the next couple of weeks, so I encourage you to come back, join us. You can call in at 646-668-2636. And have any questions, I have scheduled lined up for some men of God, pastors and teachers to come on and join us and continue this conversation in depth. But I think it's important that we understand what the Lordship is. Folk are walking around calling themselves saved, thinking they're saved, even, you know, there's two kinds. The one who are naive to it, and then those who just know they're not living right, but just have the facade and the mask of salvation on. They show up and do things, they dress up nice, but they have nothing on the inside. Jesus called the Pharisees their whitewashed tombs. They're whitewashed and clean on the outside, but dead inside. So we have to be able to check ourselves and know. Do we have assurance of salvation because we're living a different life? You know, one thing about the Lordship of salvation is not a salvation of works. Advocates of Lordship have carefully said that salvation is by grace alone, but believers are saved before their faith ever produces any good works. So, as Christians, our works, the things that we do, no matter what it is, from the littlest thing to giving to the homeless, to raising our families, living our lives, serving in the church, we're doing those things to edify the body and glorify God. Because our salvation is secure, but that's not why we do works. And that's other things that some people get their faith, they believe because what they do is what is because that proves they're saved because of the things they do. You could be busy doing a lot of things and still not saved because you are not still being disobedient to God. If you're living a secret life, a double life, or you're living a masqueraded life with a mask on, that you know in your heart that you don't have love for people, you don't have a love for God, you don't have a love for God's word, you don't have love for the church, for what God is doing in the earth, you don't recognize the things that God has called you for. Do you know that you have a calling that God gave you a purpose in your life, just you individually. We all have a purpose that God created us for. But do we know that? And do we understand that? Are we seeking to understand that? You know, we have a lot of folks talking about what's the will of God for my life. But if you search and if you're praying and if you're connected with God, you wouldn't necessarily have to go to a man, to a person, to find out what the will of God is for you. Because God will put that thing in you. And the more you come obedient to him, he will reveal that thing to you. I truly believe that. You have people who will encourage you, will see some things in you and speak into your life. But also, it's something that will be stirred up in you because it will be the Holy Spirit that will guide you. Because when it doesn't go that way or doesn't go like you think it should go or it doesn't please the flesh, that still could be a purpose of God has called you to do. It's not everything that God calls us to do be easy. Again, if we research the scriptures and study the scriptures, of the 12, only one died an old man. The prophets of the Old Testament were killed by their own people because they proclaimed the word of God to the people and called them out and prophesied not all good things. Some prophecies was of destruction and death, and yet they were persecuted for it. So we have to understand when we look at church history, we look what Scripture says, that God is going to use us and wants to use us, and it's all not going to be pleasing to our flesh. And that's what the Lordship is about. Even in our Savior, in Gethsemane, that was him. Right, that was his flesh rising up. God Father, do I have to die? Do I have to take suffering to be separated from you for this? Is there any other way? So we as Christians should look to that time, our Gethsemane experience. We talk about a lot of things in the body of Christ about our experiences and what we do, but where is our Gethsemane experience going to be, where we're going to have to obey God and be able to stand in the persecution, the suffering, the sacrifice. So that's what we have to be able to do. We're going to touch on a couple things here. We're going to touch on nine quick points here about salvation, about the Lordship salvation, because again, we're going to be coming back because I wanted to speak to this because I want to speak to husbands and fathers and sons today, because as husbands and fathers, if we're leading our families, we're leading in the church, we're leading the community, we have to be rooted and grounded in foundation and rooted and grounded well in the concrete of the gospel. So we don't want to make it easy, even when we witness to the loss, that easy believism, that easy just say the prayer and just do this and it'll be okay and you'll be all right. That's not what Scripture teaches. But we have to be prepared to be able to take people, mentor people, disciple people. And that's one of the other things that Scripture tells us. It tells us to disciple people. You know, when we talk about discipling, we talk about bringing folk to Christ and giving them sinner's prayer, but where is the discipling? What are we doing? Do we have a strategy and a plan to disciple folk? How long did it take Jesus? It took Jesus 3 years. And it took him 3 years for him to be able to be used and be useful and the power of the Holy Spirit. So where are we doing in our processes? When we reaching out to people, who are we mentoring? Who are we discipling? Are we being made available, making ourselves available to the church to be used in the body of Christ? Or do we seeking titles? There's a reason for titles. There's titles in the church and in Scripture. But however, the lay people, those who didn't have the titles, what are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing to the gospel and call that God has given on our lives? We each have a purpose. And that's one of the things we have to remember as Lordship. God doesn't make, you know, duplicates. Each of us has been saved. Each of us is created. And we may not never know what it is. It may be for one, maybe for 10,000. But unless we're obedient to God, we would never know. Amen? So one of the teachers that said the Lordship of Christ is separate from the easy, and what I call the easy believe. It's easy to believe, just say the prayer and you're saved and that's it and you're going about your business. One of them is repentance, which is where we're going to spend probably a whole session on repentance by itself. Amen? Because repentance is it means a lot. There's a lot to repentance. It's a change of mind, an embracing of sin and rejection of the things that Christ is. What the Scripture says, loving what God loves and hating what God hates. Repentance is a change of mind from the embrace of sin and the rejection of Christ to the rejection of sin and the embrace of Christ. Amen. I encourage you to join us for that session. We're going to talk about that a little more in depth. A Christian is a new creature and cannot just stop believing and lose his salvation. And real faith endures forever. And salvation is all God's work. So God is redoing us, remaking us, giving the change in our heart, our thinking, the way we see the world. And that's not something that we can do. It's not a flesh thing. It's not our choice. We don't choose to do better, be better, or think better. It's a change that God has changed us from who we were and how we used to believe to what we believe and how we live. And our life shows it. The object of our faith is Christ himself. You know, it's more, it's our faith is involved in a personal commitment to Christ. It's a personal, it's us, we're committed to God, and we're committed to Jesus, who Jesus says he is. I'll give a scripture reference of 2 Corinthians 5:15. It's more than just being convinced of the truth of God, so it's forsaking the world and following our Master, our Lord. Our sheep, it says in John 10:27, my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So we continue to encourage you to be able to hear the voice of God, know the word of God, and to be obedient to the word of God, and that we will stand and hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. True faith always produces a changed life. That right there, if you still live in the same way you was living from the day you were saved, and again, I don't care if it was a week, 5 months, 5 years, 15 years, or 25 years, if you still have the same nasty attitude, how you think, how you live, and still living in sin, sleeping around, shacking up, whatever it is, are you truly saved? Or are you just have a masquerade? Are you perpetrating a fraud? Amen? Amen. The next one is God's divine power is giving us everything we need to live a godly life. Surrendering Christ. Salvation is living a godly life. We're living examples. We're being salt and light into this culture. We're being salt and light to those around us. We're being salt and light to the lost. So are we living a life that is pleasing to God? It's as simple as that. I'm going to refer to 2 Peter 1:3 for your edification and for your reading. Also, Scripture teaches that Jesus is all. Unconditional surrender to his will. It's the will of God. We're not living in rebellion to God's will. If we are rebelling against God's will and God's purpose, then you may not be saved. He's not your Lord and Savior. Because again, as Lord, as Master, we are his servants, we are his slaves, we are called to be obedient. We live by his will and his will alone. That's the most important thing we live by. So are we living by that? or are we living in rebellion to God's will? Because if we are living in rebellion, then we don't have eternal life. God opposes the proud and shows favor to the humble. While we humble ourselves before God and be obedient and willing to sacrifice, again, our Garden of Gethsemane experience that each of us would have to go through. Those who truly believe Christ will love him. Do we love God? Do we love the things of God? Do we love his word? Do we love the people? Those who are faithful to God, do we love and cherish and reverence them? Do we appreciate them? Do we show gratitude? Are we thankful for them being in our lives? Scripture also teaches obedience is important to faith. Obedience is evidence of one's faith being genuine. A person remains unwilling to obey Christ. He provides that his faith is in name only. We just say we are Christians, but we are disobedient to every part of Scripture, every moral principle, every disobedient thing that Christ teaches us on how we live and how we should live and how we think. We're disobedient any part of that. We are not his. We are not obedient to the Master. That comes from the big sins, murder, stealing, robbing, to the little sins of lying, cheating, bearing false witness, gossiping, backbiting, doing something that we wanted to do, having wrong motivation for what we do, lust, all of it. If we're disobedient, we have a faith alone, a faith by name alone, not by actions and not how we live. And again, only each of us will know that who we are on the inside, what our heart believes, could all give us situations at all times in our life. Genuine believers may stumble and fall, but they will persevere in the faith. That means if something goes wrong, if you do make a mistake, if you fall, you ask for repentance, you ask for forgiveness, you get up and you continue to move forward. Again, if we look at Scripture, if we look at the failings of the men of God, if we look at the failings in the Old and New Testament, but yet their faith kept them strong, they got up and continued to move forward, and God used them mightily. Even the worst of those, even the worst of those. If we look at Paul, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we look at Peter, we look at we look at all 12 of the disciples. Those men fell, they struggled. And the only one who didn't repent and was able to be used by him, the Scripture records, is Judas. Because even if we understand what salvation means and what it means to be a man of God, a man of faith, even Judas for what he had done. Again, this is God's plan for his son to come and die. But Judas, if Judas would have repented, I just leave that right there. Again, we'll touch on that at another time. Amen. So, coming to faith and aimed at that the person has been delivered from sin by faith in Christ should not desire to remain in a life of sin. And of course, spiritual growth can occur quickly, slowly, depending on the person and the circumstance, depending on where you are, you know, access to a book. But here in America, in this Western culture, we have access to Scripture, we have access to technology, we have access to people whose lives have testimonies of changed lives. We have to be able to study. You know, we think of folks in other parts of the world who don't even have a whole Bible. They might have just Romans or just John or just a few pages. There's stories and testimonies of people who are in prison and only had 4 or 5 pages of Scripture, and their faith was built on that because they believed it. We know in countries in Eastern Europe and in Asia and even folk today in some Muslim and Hindu and other countries that have a majority of other religions are the majority. We have Christians there who even having the Bible is legal, but without what they have, they believe. So a lot of it is us, and what are we doing, and what are we using our resources to know and understand who God is. So again, tonight we were talking about Jesus and his Lordship, and what does that mean? Again, we touched on a couple of things. You've been listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and I just wanted to share some things. I'm laying the foundation. Again, the next coming weeks, we'll be talking more and more about the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives, and what does it mean, and what does it look like that when we say Jesus is Lord, and what does it look like, and how do we check ourselves, and how do we encourage ourselves, and how we continue to press forward and be the men of God that God has called us to be. Amen. So, tonight, thank you for joining us. Again, you can listen to the rebroadcast of this and the link at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. And if you go to the site and you're listening, if you look on the right-hand side, you'll see the red follow button. If you click on that button, you'll get updates. And when we do a new broadcast or when we're live or when we upload a broadcast, we're here every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m., And coming soon, coming in December time frame, we're going to be going to Saturday mornings, live on Saturday morning. We'll have details on that. You can reach out to us on Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk on Facebook, also on Twitter. We're on Twitter at Issues Men's Talk. We continue to encourage you. We share upcoming events, marriage events, men's events, send out devotional words of encouragement, and continue to press and do the things that God has called us to do in this season, in this time, to be the men that God has called us. I thank you for joining us tonight. God bless you. And we encourage you to tune in again on Thursday night. God bless. Thursdays and Mondays. God bless.
We'll be right back.